yo, fam, that fit is fire.
Yeah.
They would look at you like you're crazy.
I mean, I just eye rolled when you said that. So yeah.
But they might say that.
They might say that. Yeah. So that might be a bit of a one-way street. But it also is, to me, highly entertaining.
Exactly.
Because I don't understand it, but man, that's I like the idea that we can just drop syllables and be the same word. Hey guys, welcome to the Teen Life Podcast. This is Chris Roby.
And I'm Carly Duke.
And we believe that teenagers are not a problem to be solved. We're here to help you equip teenagers through the power of connection. Today we want to talk about the connection around stress and the fact that stress is a part of life. And the way that we deal with stress is really, really important.
It is important. And stress has been huge. Stress is always part of life, unfortunately,
right. Mm-hmm.
But especially lately.
Yeah. So depending on when you're listening to this, we are kind of getting close to year two of a pandemic and has upended every part of life. And we don't want to make this podcast pandemic specific by any means, because when the pandemic's over, stress is still going to be around. And so mm-hmm. it's a part of who we are. And we talk to teenagers a lot about that stress is with us. It's a part of life. And the way that we handle it is really, really important. But now with stress upon stress upon stress, it can be really overwhelming, especially for a teenager.
Right. And it's been overwhelming for me mm-hmm. personally. And I'm an adult who's had twice as many years mm-hmm. to handle stress. And so for a teenager, especially as we were talking about earlier, Chris, before we pressed play, many teens lost their coping mechanisms because they lost being able to be with friends. They lost athletics. They lost band. They lost their favorite class at school. They lost even getting out of the house mm-hmm. might be a de-stressor for them. And so to lose those things and then have to figure out, okay, now how can I positively handle stress? That's huge.
It is. And then you also have to kind of combine that with, you know, like you said, stress has been really difficult on all of us. And you know, I've got a lot more years than you, and I've been through more crises, but this one has been pretty overwhelming because we have lost so much and we are trying to navigate this world that we're living in. But at the end of the day, we know it's going to be over, mm-hmm. right? That crisis doesn't last forever. That there's going to be a day where we're going to get through this. And because we know we've been through other crises that have been really difficult when they've happened, but then they wind up. For a teenager, for a developing mind, they don't really have that luxury. They don't have the luxury of experience. And so imagine being a developing mind, especially a younger adolescent, like you're like a junior high student, where you're just kind of coming into these teenage years and you have all these new developmental tools, and all of a sudden everything you know is changed.
Right.
It seems like this is what life is going to be like the rest of my life, and how much of a burden that must be on a teenager.
Right. So coming off that, what are teens stressed about?
Oh, lots of things.
I just threw that at you.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, that's why they came here for this podcast. It's lots of things, right? Yeah. So teenagers are stressed about anytime, you know, something is really out of their control, and there's lots of things that are out of their control, especially now. And so there's a lot to grieve right mm-hmm. now. There's a lot to be stressed about right now with so many things being taken away. But a lot of times, I think teenagers are stressed about their lack of agency, about the future, about the uncertainty surrounding not only during a pandemic, but just going through life and the uncertainty. I think online relationships, social media can cause a lot of stress mm-hmm. because there's a one-dimensional aspect of our online presence that doesn't really take into account everything else that's going on. So while their friends seem perfect, they don't feel like they are. And how do they deal with that kind of stress? Obviously, the stresses of school, of having to achieve, stress of having to live up to your parents' expectations, all of those things. There's a lot to be stressed about.
Right. I hear a lot in groups. Money is mm-hmm. a big one. Friends, family, mm-hmm. grades, mm-hmm. All things you've said. There's a lot going on in a teenager's life that is stressful. I think a lot of times we think you don't have the stress of adulthood. And so we almost can be quick to dismiss teenager stress mm-hmm. of who cares if that friend doesn't like you? Who cares if you had a really bad hair day and you had to go to school like that? But that is really stressful for a teenager.
I think they also take on our stress too, oh, as totally. Adults, right? And so the things that we're bringing home with us that maybe we're not dealing very well with mm-hmm. can easily fall on their shoulders because maybe they want to help fix it, or maybe they feel somewhat at fault or somewhat to blame for any of those kinds of stresses. And so, you know, let alone the difficult world they live in, us adults aren't making it much better for them sometimes.
Right. And in our groups, we often, or not often, when we talk about stress, we always want teenagers to think of what's a positive way that they can handle stress. Hmm. Because honestly, many of them have down the negative ways.
Yeah.
Whether that's they're going to avoid it completely, lashing out and raging, maybe there's substance abuse of some sort, mm-hmm. whether that's alcohol or drugs, maybe it's getting online mm-hmm. And shopping or whatever mm-hmm. that looks like. It can be different for every teenager, but we want them to think outside of the things that might be negative and think through some very positive coping skills that are also healthy for them.
And I also think, just to kind of add on to that negative, you know, a lot that we see is around numbing mm-hmm. And around disengagement, because mm-hmm. Engaging in a complicated, stressful, chaotic world is kind of painful and it's kind of difficult. And now more than ever, there are a lot of ways we can check out. There's a lot of ways we can numb and try and just not feel the pain. And that's why, you know, being online gaming, all those kinds of things, you know, they bring a lot of that. But a lot of times kids get lost in that. And that's not really reality. I mean, life is difficult and life has to be dealt with in a lot of ways. And so numbing is a huge thing that I see with teenagers.
Yeah. And so coming out of that, we want to give y'all some positive coping mechanisms that maybe you can talk to your teenagers about. Have a conversation with teenagers and ask them what is stressful for them right now. Mm-hmm. But then also ask, what can you do about it in a healthy way? So maybe that looks like exercise, whether that's sports. And when sports were taken away, maybe that was a walk. When we were stuck inside, those daily walks were vital for my mental health mm-hmm. because being stuck inside and not letting your body move can cause more stress. And so maybe it's going on a walk. For some kids, it might be music or art, drawing something. Is a way to handle stress in a positive way.
We also encourage kids to journal mm-hmm. to be able to get things out of their head, because when it gets really stressful is when it's all between their ears and you can't really process. And so writing it out, and sometimes I've heard friends say, get a yellow pad mm-hmm. and just write, and you are under no responsibility to ever read it again. But just write all the junk, write it out, and if you got to throw it away, it's out of your head, mm-hmm. right? And so there's a lot of power in that. And I think just finding ways that they can connect with their friends, but even you as the helper, you as the parent. And those are really big things that we see as being helpful for students.
Hey guys, I just wanted to drop in real quick to tell you about an exciting opportunity coming up, which is the first ever Teen Life Summit. This is going to be a virtual conference on May 11th and 12th. And you can go ahead and get your tickets now. So if you go to teenlife.ngo/summit, you can find that. You can also use a special code, which is teenlife10, like all one word, teenlife10, and you'll get $10 off of your ticket. So this is something you won't want to miss. If you can't watch it May 11th and 12th, you'll get access to this material moving forward. But we're going to cover things like empathy. And Dr. Michelle Borba is going to be our keynote speaker for that. Go find her book, Thrivers. Look her up on Instagram or Twitter to see her work. She's incredible. We're also going to be talking through grief, anxiety. We're going to be talking about how to equip teenagers through trauma and what trauma care looks like. So basically, this has been a crazy year. I think everyone can agree that over the last year, teenagers have been through a lot. And so this whole conference is about, how do we build resilience in teenagers? How do we encourage them? How do we equip them moving forward? Everything will leave you with practical tools. And we promise this is a conference you won't want to miss. So once again, go to teenlife.ngo/summit to register today. Now that we've talked about stress, let's get into some teen terms. Are you ready, Chris?
Teen terms.
Teen terms.
This seems like something I'm going to know very little about.
Exactly, which is why I'm excited. So we wanted to take some time to cover maybe some words that teenagers are using that maybe you know what they mean, maybe you don't. Sometimes the meaning changes since when we were growing up, and then it might mean something different. So I'm going to play a little game with Chris, right, and I'm going to throw out a word, and I want you to try to give me a general vibe of what you think it means.
This is going to be awesome.
Exactly. I'm excited about it.
Yeah.
The first one is fire.
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 Fire. So it is something hot. It'll burn you.
Sure. So in teen terms, fire often means cool or amazing. So a teen.
So the
say,
opposite of fire.
Exactly.
Okay.
So like, that's fire. Hey, Chris, that shirt's fire.
Uh-huh.
Meaning they think it's cool. Similar to lit. You've probably heard that. But yeah, lit can mean amazing, exciting. It can also mean drunk. So if someone got lit.
Ah, lit. Yeah.
So that one can go both ways.
Okay. So context is important with these. Yes. Okay.
Exactly. Right. You will learn all of these. Context is very important. Right. What about extra?
Extra.
Someone is being extra.
Maybe just a little more than they usually are.
Mm-hmm. Very close.
All right.
So unnecessarily dramatic, maybe over the top. Oftentimes, if someone is being extra, they're trying to draw attention to themselves.
Extra.
This is one that I learned this week that was new, that I had no idea. So cap.
Cap. Not something you put on your head. Stopping something, finishing something.
It is actually to lie or exaggerate.
That makes no sense.
I know. And then no cap is to tell the truth.
Cap.
Or capping.
Huh.
So they are lying if they're capping.
Capping is lying. Okay. So that one fooled me.
Yeah.
I had a little idea on extra and lit and fire, but no, that's counterintuitive.
Okay. What about snatched?
Snatched. You stole something?
So snatched is fashionable.
Oh, wow.
So if you're snatched, that means you're fashionable.
Okay.
This one is another. Oh, no, this one is fine. Kind of fit.
Fit. Yep. So not healthy or the right amount of body fat or cardiovascular endurance.
You would think that.
You would think. That's what I think.
You would think that. But that is not what teenagers use it for. So fit is short for outfit.
Oh,
you get this. Yeah, I don't know why that's a thing, but if you're talking about your fit, you're talking about your outfit.
So two syllables is just too much.
Yeah, apparently.
Okay. All right. All
exactly.
Right. So fit.
That's what I'm here for. I'm here to keep you cool.
So your fit is fire.
All right. Chris.
Okay. All right. All right.
Okay. So next is bet.
Bet. The way you giggle after you say that means I'm going to have no clue what this is. So bet. It is not betcha. It's not any kind of wager. I'm just going to throw something on the wall. It is attractive.
No.
Okay.
It's probably not as far off as you were originally thinking. It just makes me laugh that they use this. But bet can be used instead of yes or okay. It can also be like if someone challenges you instead of saying like watch or you'll see. So I'll give an example because those are kind of confusing.
Yes, I need this in a sentence.
So like if you were to say, I'll see you tonight, I might say bet. Like, okay, bet.
Bet.
Or you won't do that. Bet. Like, watch me.
And that makes more sense.
Yeah.
But just as an okay or yes doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
So what you're finding is they like to shorten a lot of things.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make sense to me. But
words are exhausting. Yeah.
You can't say like, you bet. You just say bet.
Bet. Okay. Gotcha.
What about low key?
He's a character on Thor. He's Thor's brother.
Wrong spelling. I was not ready for that.
I know.
So this is Lowkey.
Okay.
Not gotcha. Loki.
Okay.
Low-key.
Low-key. Okay. I knew that. I just had to be difficult. So low-key would be on maybe a previous generation's down the down low.
Yeah.
Ah.
Way to go, Chris.
Thanks.
So that would be slightly, secretly, modestly, I low-key have a crush on that person.
Low-key, okay.
Like, just kind of on the down low.
Mm-hmm.
And then they often use...
Not the DL?
Yeah, sure. They don't say that, I don't think.
No, that's way... Yeah. That's really old. Yeah.
And then high-key, they also use. So if you're saying, like, I high-key love that, it's the opposite.
Oh.
Like, you, like, almost, like, aggressively love something.
Okay.
It's high-key.
Okay.
And then what about salty?
Yeah, I know that one. Because I know some people that are.
That are salty, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So I would say it was, I don't know the best way to put it, just a personality that might be a little more difficult.
Yeah, so it can be annoyed, upset, bitter, Like a bitter person is a salty person. Why are they acting salty?
Yeah. Yeah.
Shook.
Shook. Oh, this one makes sense to me. Like if you are some kind of traumatized, some kind of, I don't know.
No, you're on the right path. Mm-hmm. So when you're affected by something, shocked, surprised, scared, like I'm shook by that.
That got me shook.
Yeah.
All right.
Like the storm, the snowstorms that Texas had.
Yeah.
I was shook from that.
Yeah. Yeah. We still are.
And then what about tea or spill the tea? Have you heard this one?
I've heard that and I have no clue.
So tea is often gossip. So if you're saying spill the tea, like let's sit down and talk gossip. Let's share something juicy, maybe.
Okay.
Would be the tea.
So when you say tea, is a letter T or the drink?
The
tea,
drink.
The drink, T-E-A. Yeah.
T-E-A.
And just so you know, Carly mimed a teacup with the pinky up.
Y'all can't see me, but I was just making sure Chris knew.
I got it. So the
very fancy over here.
So I'm guessing that that's derivative of people talking over tea.
I guess so.
I need help on this one. That makes no sense.
I know. One of the first ones I heard about saying this was an actress and she's British. So I don't know if it started, if this was a European thing that came over and we've just taken. I'm not really sure.
Came across the pond. Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I should probably have looked into this before I used it. And then the last one I have for you is thirsty. Has nothing to do with water.
I mean, the only time I use that out of if I'm painting and the wall pulls all the paint in, I call that thirsty.
So this is when someone is overly eager or like they're searching for compliments or attention.
Oh.
So if you have someone that's maybe fishing for something, they would say, oh, that person's thirsty.
Oh, they're using the pejorative. Okay. Yes. Gotcha. All right.
So as you can tell, teenagers use a lot of words that need context, that if you're not sure what they're saying, hopefully this helped a little bit. A lot of these things can be found on TikTok. And if you still don't know what TikTok is, go back and listen to our last episode. But I will also link these words that I found in an article. My husband helped me with some of these as a high school coach.
Mm-hmm.
And then Urban Dictionary is another place that I would encourage parents to go. Now, sometimes Urban Dictionary will throw out words and terms that you do not want to know what they mean. However, if your teenager says something and you're not sure what it means, try Googling it if you're worried about it. Mm-hmm. You can often tell if a teenager, I do this a lot in groups, if a teenager throws out a term and I have no idea what they're talking about, I can usually tell by the reactions of the people around them if it's a negative or a positive thing and maybe the context of it.
So let me ask you this, Carly. We talk about being with our connections being really important as a parent or as a helper with this new knowledge that we have. Should we use these words with our teenagers?
Absolutely not.
Absolutely not.
I take that back. There might be some that you can do, but you will get a lot of eye rolls if you start being like, yo, fam, that fit is fire.
Yeah.
They would look at you like you were crazy.
I mean, I just eye rolled when you said that. So yeah.
But they might say that.
They might say that. Yeah. So that might be a bit of a one-way street, but it also is, to me, highly entertaining.
Exactly.
Because I don't understand it, but man, that's... I like the idea that we can just drop syllables and be the same word.
Start making up your own words.
I plan to. But yeah, I think that's a really good point to make is a lot of times as adults, we feel compelled to relate. And a lot of times that's not what students need. Is they don't really need someone to relate to them by adopting their same language, same style, same mannerisms. They want to be themselves and they want you to be yourself. And so be curious, but don't always feel compelled to use these terms.
So now let's get to our final segment, which is the tip of today. So, Chris, today I kind of like to talk about when and where to talk to teens.
All right.
So the best way to get connection, the best way to get them to open up, maybe what works.
So a lot of it is around how does your teenager function?
Mm-hmm.
And so I am not great in the mornings. And my wife has learned not to really have great conversations with me during the morning because I'm probably going to forget or I'm probably not going to react the way she is. Your teenager's no different. Teens in your life have a body clock and have a certain way that they're put together. And if you live with them, you just pay attention and you'll know when that is. And so the hard part is when it's opposite of yours, right? And so there's some sacrifices that have to be made and they probably don't need to be made by your student. They probably need to be made by you. So if they are a late night talker, which you are,
I am still, totally was in high school as well.
Right. So your folks had to adapt, I'm sure, of maybe staying up later than they would like. And so adjusting accordingly, because this is about your student and about that connection and you making those accommodations for them.
Right. And I would say with teenagers, as you probably know, they don't always want to talk.
Mm-hmm.
So if they are willingly coming to you to talk about something, you better drop everything right then mm-hmm. and make time for that.
Mm-hmm.
And that means putting the cell phone away, maybe turning off the TV or at least turning it down. Turn your attention to them so that you can make sure that they know that you are listening and that you're ready to talk.
And we've learned too through teen life and our support groups is distraction is a great tool when mm-hmm. it comes to getting students to talk. Because if I'm just sitting face to face with a kid, they're not wanting to talk. I'm trying every which way to get them to talk. It's probably not going to work.
Right.
But if we are doing something together where there's just enough of the edge taken off where they'll start to talk. So in our groups, we use play therapy kind of things. So we'll throw Play-Doh at them and they will start, you know, connecting to more of a childlike thing. And then they'll start talking. And a lot of times they're not really realizing how much more they are sharing than they otherwise would. Mm. And so I'm not saying you have to throw Play-Doh at your kid, but I'm saying that finding places where maybe eye contact isn't a thing as much. Maybe they're uncomfortable with eye contact. So maybe driving in the car or doing something together. If you're going fishing, if you're shooting the basketball, or if you're doing something where it's not just about that conversation, but it's about doing something together, that oftentimes will open up a lot more.
Right. It's very disarming sometimes when you're focused on something else, but there's also opportunity to talk. It's also not helpful to try to have a talk when you're doing an activity where you can't hear each other.
Mm.
But at the same time, if that's go play putt-putt
mm-hmm.
with your teenager, maybe even doing yard work or cooking dinner if you have a teenager that wants to help you cook, or just while you're cooking dinner, they come sit at the bar where your entire focus isn't on them, but they also know that you're listening
mm-hmm.
can be huge. And like you said, not always facing each other. In the car, that's when I always talk to my parents
mm-hmm.
or late at night when I would come in. And I knew my parents would rather be asleep right now, but they made time to listen to me. And that was really important.
And a lot of times it's around a common interest too. So like even today, my dad is in his mid-60s and we talk mainly around the things that we share. And so if there's something that I'm doing handiwork around the house that I know he's going to be into, we kind of connect over that. And then we end up talking about lots of other things, but that's kind of that starting point is what are the two of you guys really, what's your common ground, even if it's really, really small. The big thing we want to make sure that you guys pay attention to is your cell phone mm-hmm. and electronics, is that can be a much bigger barrier than you realize. So if you are talking to your student while you're also looking at your phones, or vice versa, where they're looking at their phones while they're talking to you, that communicates a lack of interest that maybe you're not intending, or maybe not they're intending. So making sure that if you are really trying to connect and get them to talk and to open up about the things that are stressing them, to try to get screens out of the equation.
Right. And so as we will encourage over and over again, have conversations with your teens.
Mm-hmm.
And like we said, look for ways that it is best for them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that means you have to compromise. But at this point, if teenagers are willing to talk to you, make that compromise and you will not regret it a single time.
All right, that's a wrap on this one. Thank you so much for listening. A special thanks to Carly Duke and to Kelly Fan for producing this podcast. Also to Luke Cabrera for our awesome podcast music. If you want to know more about Luke and his music, check out his contact info in the description. Well, this podcast is for the helpers, and we really hope you feel helped. If there's something we haven't talked about or a topic that you're really interested in, email us at podcast@teenlife.ngo, and we will do our best to get to that topic. We will see you next week.